challenging with the young ones sometimes. They kind of sing some parts and you hear those really well, and the other parts kind of go soft, and then the other ones get really loud. It's interesting and it's good. We know we've been very blessed in this country, and we can sing about it and tell the Lord how grateful we are. It's a blessing, that's for sure. No doubt about it. If you take the Word of God with me tonight, and let's go to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And it has been an encouragement to be here today, to be here with you folks, and to be able to enjoy the fellowship. Thank you that we went over and saw the West family today, had a good time at their house, enjoyed a good meal with them, and we definitely appreciate them, appreciate Macy and Emily. They were a blessing to our family when they came down, and I'm thankful the Lord has helping them and giving them direction on some things. We're definitely thrilled with that. Good to see how the Lord is working here, and the Barnhouse family have been friends of ours for a long time. We're thankful for them and for how the Lord is using them in this place. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we'll read verses 1 and 2 this evening. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says in verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Let's go to Lord in prayer to ask His blessing and help on the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, dear Lord, just that we've been so blessed to be able to be here tonight, and that we have a lot of people around us, dear Lord, whose hearts are concerned and worried over a lot of things, and we're thankful for the help and the strength we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, tonight that You'd help us as we look into Your Word, to this message that has been such an encouragement to my heart. I pray, Father, that You would encourage each and every one here tonight, and pray that we'd be encouraged, dear Father, in the power of Your Word, the power of prayer, and how You desire to use us in that way. We'll ask that You will help us. You'll help us to honor the sweet Holy Spirit, and that He would speak to our hearts tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it's interesting here in verse number 1, Paul is speaking, "Finally, brethren," so he's coming to the end of his letter here. Of course, he wrote two letters that we have recorded under inspiration of the Spirit of God, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and he spoke some very important things there to them in some of the greatest passages that we have on the rapture and the Lord's second coming, there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have some great verses speaking on praying and rejoicing and thanking and those sorts of things. And Paul is just leading right on into the second letter that the Lord allows him to write here. And I believe that this is Paul's heart and soul, when it really comes down to it. What Paul really desperately needed and knew that he needed for the ministry that the Lord had called him to do. And it's a wonderful thing to be in the Lord's ministry. Some of us serve the Lord at full time, and some of us, we're all full-time Christians. We're definitely all called to that. Some of us might not get up and be able to preach or teach every week, but we can pray. We can pray. We find here that Paul is encouraging the brethren. I'm sure that everybody at Thessalonica wasn't preaching every Sunday, because that would be chaos, okay? There's probably a few teachers here and there, but there were some brethren there, some people in the church, and he said, "Pray for us." So we see Paul here, he's speaking to the believers. He's saying, "Finally, brethren," and he's saying, "Pray for us." And who are the us, you might ask? 2 Thessalonians 1:1 tells us, says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians." So we find that there was Paul and his fellow workers there, Timothy, a man that he loved in the faith, and Silvanus, another dearly beloved man who the Lord was using. And he was praying, asking the people to pray for these people as they would go about and as they ministered to the people where they were. But Paul had already encouraged, of course, we talked briefly, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, talk about pray without ceasing. Paul was encouraging these people, had already encouraged them to pray without ceasing. We mentioned in the morning service, it's a wonderful thing to have it a prayer. I think we should endeavor to pray every day. endeavor to pray every day, but the spirit of prayer is much better. I love when we went to Crown College of the Bible, I heard the concept for the first time in my life, a devotional life. A devotional life. For so many of us, perhaps, it's been in the morning for 15 minutes, and then we kind of go off and do our own thing. But it's wonderful to be able to walk with the Lord all day long. Every week, every day, every moment of every day, and have the possibility and the blessing of being in touch with the sweet Holy Spirit of God and Him guiding and helping us during that time and guiding us in prayer. It's a wonderful thing to be guided in prayer, and God puts somebody on your heart and you pray for that person. You pray for that person, and sometimes you don't. Why? I read a book a while back. It was one of the best books I ever read on retouching the world through prayer. I think the author's name was Dewey or something like that. The names kind of go when you get older. But touching the world through prayer, I remember him sharing a story in there where he had some people that he knew. I believe it was his family that was out, and this was years and years ago. He were traveling down the road in their vehicle, and they had left, and he just got this very, really bad feeling came over him. And he said, we just need to get down and start praying. He got down and started to pray. And he prayed until he felt that feeling go away and felt the Holy Spirit said the prayer's been answered. Well, they got back and he told them what had happened. And they said, yeah, about that time we were going down the road and we had a car coming at us in our lane. We're going to hit us head on. I don't know how it happened. But God avoided the crash, and the car somehow swerved the last second. We were able to come by. That's why we were praying. So it was wonderful just there, and so many requests that perhaps we don't hear about. I remember my grandfather was a great blessing to me, but he passed away back in 2002, I believe it was. But the Lord used him. He was saved, a wonderful testimony of salvation. My mother got saved when she was 14 years old, grew up in a Catholic home. My grandfather nearly enlisted to be a priest in the Catholic Church. He didn't do so, but they were a Catholic family growing up in Cleveland, Ohio. And my mom got saved, and through the testimony of my mom and her family, my grandfather and my grandmother came to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just a few short years later, my grandfather ended up on the mission field in Haiti, where they served faithfully for about 12 years there in one of the poorest countries in the world, but not only the poorest, but spiritually poor as well. Just the paganism, idolatry, just devilish worship is just rampant there in that place. But my grandfather contracted malaria, and he had it every year. He would get it every year because, of course, once you get malaria, you really can't get rid of it. It just comes and just kind of takes a hold of you every so often, and he knew about when that would come, about every year or so. And so he was got to the point where he was close to the point of death. They, of course, in Haiti at that time, there were no air conditioners, and it was 100 degrees during the daytime, just stifling hot. And the coolest place they could find to lay my grandfather was on the floor, on the concrete floor. And he sweated so much that literally in that floor, he left that impression, a sweat impression, just burned right into the floor there. But right as he was laying at the door of death, there was a pastor that supported him up in near Cleveland, Ohio. And this pastor said, I don't know what it is, but I got out of bed that night about 2 o'clock in the morning and knelt down beside my bed and said, I need to pray for Brother George Schwender, who's over there ministering in Haiti. I don't really know why, but God said to get down and pray. He prayed, and he prayed until he felt that the Lord had heard his prayer and that the Holy Spirit told him it was okay, and he went on back to bed. And he talked with my grandfather years later, and he said, you know what, there was a night when the Lord told me to pray for you. You know what was going on during that time? And he said, yep, I was right at the door of death. And malaria had just about taken my life, but the Lord saw fit to spare me. And no doubt that those prayers had helped, and the Lord used them to be able to spare him, to help him. So we don't know. We don't know when. We don't know how. But as the Lord encourages and helps us to pray, the Lord gives strength and he gives help. Prayer is divine. It's helpful. It's when you get a hold of the throne room of heaven, there's going to be some miraculous, wonderful things going on. Maybe we won't hear about them, but maybe in somebody's heart. That's the most important place. God, as we talked about in the morning, God sees us for who we are. God sees us for who we are. It's not about what we are doing. Maybe people are doing a lot of things, but in their heart, they're a disaster, a wreck. They don't know what's going on, but the Lord's the only one that can get in there and touch right where they need it. And the Lord will put those people on our hearts. But we find that Paul was here trying to encourage these believers to pray for he and his friends, he and his fellow co-laborers in the faith. I think that definitely we find that 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 gives us a wonderful threefold cord of things that can help us when we're going through difficult times. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. I believe all those things go together. You read the context of Scripture, find when we're rejoicing, that's when we're praying more. When we're praying, we're thanking. When we're thanking, we're praying. And all and vice versa. When we tend to get down on some things and not rejoicing like we ought, or thanking the Lord each day and get kind of selfish and sort of those sort of things, we can get kind of misguided and begin to think things and do things that we ought not. But as the Lord keeps us and helps us in that way, we'll be praying for others. Paul is requesting prayer. What was the main reason that he was requesting prayer? And this is where it gets really interesting. The Lord gives us specific prayer requests in his word that can be a help to us, that can help us to pray. Because a lot of time, what do we say? Bless them, Lord, bless them. How do we know that they've been blessed? Sometimes we don't pray specifically, and it's okay to pray the Lord's blessings down, and the Lord blesses, there's no doubt about that. We've been blessed, as the song says, but there's some Bible petitions that the Lord puts here in very strategic places that as we pray, the Bible, of course, Jesus talked about and said, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, so we have to be careful about those sorts of things, but to pray fresh prayers, using the Word of God. And we find here a great request that we need. This church, you saw the presentation there. I'm willing, when we get back, we'll be starting and working on the plans to start a brand new church there in the city where we work, about 15 minutes away from the church where we've worked. And there's people out there that we're waiting, and they're holding the fort and working with the youth and the children. When we get back, God willing, we'll be going forward with this and reaching out to the adults in a more direct way, trying to start Bible studies and those sorts of things. But nothing will come of any of this if we don't have people praying, if we don't have people holding us up before God in heaven. It says here that the word of the Lord may have free course. Boy, isn't that necessary? Sometimes it seems like we're trying to bulldoze our way along and get things done, when the Lord can just swoop in and do things that we might take years in doing. The Lord can do it in a month. He can do it in a day. If he wants, in a couple hours, he can do it. Move people's hearts and help those things to be accomplished, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Free course, if you study that word from the Greek, it literally means the ability to be able to run, to move forward, to move in different directions freely. And that's the kind of power you think, well, the word of God is already quick and powerful. Yes, and just imagine how much more powerful it would be if we prayed, according to this verse, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Us praying fervently, Lord, would you help the word of the Lord, your word, to have free course in Peru, in China, in Zambia, in the United States of America, in our hometown, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, and be glorified. So, and when it boils down to, and we think about it, what is truly important is that the word of the Lord be lifted up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So as the word of the Lord is lifted up, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to people, the Holy Spirit is always lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always lifting him up. He's glorifying him. He's not speaking of himself. He's not saying, I am the Holy Spirit. No, he's speaking about, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe in him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the one that can save you. And as to Christians, he tells, this is what you need to be doing. Nope, this is what it says in the Word of God. This is what Jesus taught. This is what you need to be doing. And we need to form a special, special bond with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask him to speak to us, even though it might get kind of rough sometimes when he starts really getting down and speaking to us and convicting us of sin and other things. But that helps us to be able to draw closer to the Lord, and helps us to be able to see the Lord and his holiness, and helps us to understand how much more we need him in the ministry that he's called us to. Without him, we can't do anything. And we don't want to be powerless Christians. We don't want to be a powerless church, and we don't have to be. If we depend upon the Lord, learn to put our faith in Him and say, Lord, I don't want to live a life by sight. Well, I'm not seeing anything. I don't know if God's working, but trust that God is working behind the scenes as we call upon Him, as we faith Him. I think of one of the dear men in our church, and I just saw him on the video there, and I decided that I think I need to talk a little bit about his testimony tonight. And a guy named Moises, and we witnessed to Moises, but he lived in a, it's kind of weird the way they do it in Peru. We got a couple families sometimes. A family can't find housing, they just move in with mom and dad. It's kind of, it's not the best setup a lot of times, but mom and dad were over here, and the family was living on this side, and they kind of divided themselves off a little part of the house. But we get this guy, Moises, and he came to church every now and again, but everybody knew that he wasn't saved. He wasn't a believer. He worked on Sunday. He did whatever he had to do. He didn't really give any regard to the Lord or anything. But there came a time, and we the family told us personally, said, we're praying for him. Would you pray, help us pray for him? We want our dad. He was a brother-in-law, a son-in-law. They say, we want this man. We need him to trust Christ. We want him to trust Christ. And Moises will give you his testimony. He came, was here to give it. He said it was through a Bible study that we had. We had it kind of looking forward and possibly that if the Lord opened doors that we would start perhaps a church in the area there. There were some faithful believers, their home there. You saw some of the pictures up there. We were there at their house and meeting. But the Lord didn't open any doors for a church, but he worked in Moises' heart because he said if it wasn't for that Bible study, I don't believe that I'd be a saved man. And as we taught the Bible each night, and a lot of time for the first few months, we were right there next to his bedroom. So he'd slip in from work and kind of slip out of sight into his room. And he said, I didn't want to come out, didn't want to hear. But you know, the Lord put it on my heart, said, I need to be out there listening, need to be out there hearing. And he heard, and he heard, and he heard. And the people kept on praying, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And I remember the Sunday night that he trusted Christ as Savior. What a blessing that was. I remember a man taking him up to the second floor and dealing with him there in the room, and he came out just excited, weeping and excited about what the Lord was doing. People said, did you get saved tonight? And his family giving him hugs and just thankful for what the Lord had done. But that's the power of prayer. People come and start praying for someone and ganging up on him before the throne of heaven. That does a lot more than us. Well, I don't know when he'll get saved. I hope he gets saved. You think he'll get saved? But if we go to the Lord with, Lord, we know that this person needs to trust Christ. Lord, would you do a work in his heart? Would you help him to trust? Would you help him to see his way? And he continued on, and he was a person and used worldly language and other things. But the Lord got a hold of his heart. And after he got saved, he started getting convicted about those things. So once Jesus gets on the inside, he'll start cleaning all that up. It's not that we have to get everything glossed up and ready to go and then give it to Jesus. No, Jesus will take care of all of it. We just have to say, would you give your life to Christ? And those old Pharisees, they knew exactly how to do it. They said, Jesus said, you're like whited sepulchers. I hate to be called that, wouldn't you? Generation of vipers. Boy, that's rough language there. But it was true because these people put more importance on the outward appearance than on the heart. And it's important what the heart, what is our heart doing? And thankful that the Lord touched Moises' heart and that he and his family. And this is ultimate when someone you see, seen in the experience that I had in the ministry there, when a family truly gets right with God, many times men and women get together and they just live together. And they have a bunch of kids and maybe 10, 12 years and they're not even married. Well, they got under conviction about that. And just this past year, before we left, they got married. He and his wife, they have four kids. I think four kids, 1, 2, 3. They have three boys and they just got a little girl. But they said, we're just about ready to have this new little girl and we want her to grow up in a home where there's a mom and a dad that are married and that love each other and that love Jesus and want her to have a good example. And so they got married. And we praise the Lord for that. And there's a lot of situations there, but we've had several throughout the year that as the Lord works in their heart, they find, and they, we need to get married. And then on one occasion, they got married on Saturday. We baptized seven people on Sunday, including the six that got married. It was a wonderful thing that God doing his work. But prayer works. There's no doubt about it. Prayer works. And as we pray, so if prayer works, why can't we pray? May we pray that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. That Jesus would be glorified. That it wouldn't be, well, that was just a wonderful, you did a great job. I don't know how you got that message. Or no, it's just the Lord used your message. The Lord helped me. Oh, he encouraged me by that message. And that's one of the most important things. When I'm there in Peru, the folks come up to me after the service or after a Sunday school lesson. They say, boy, that spoke to my heart. That means more to me. That the Lord's using the Holy Spirit through me to help and to be a blessing to other people. That God is literally glorifying his word. He is being glorified so that these people's hearts are touched and they're changed. Isn't that what we all need? That the word of the Lord might have free course in our lives? Amen. Keep on moving and stirring things up and stirring up our lives that we might draw closer to the Lord, that we might be more used of the Lord, that we might be better prayer warriors. What a wonderful thing. And it's possible. And it's possible. And it's not only possible, it's just as probable as all the promises of God, because God promises it here. And that's a wonderful thing to think about as well. Psalm 147:15. Find here kind of like a parallel to this passage that we see here. Psalm 147 in verse 15. It says, he sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. That's the word of the Lord. It's powerful. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But thinking of this was the main reason I gave the title that I gave to the message, Unleashing the Power of the Word of God. Unleashing the power of the Word of God. And sometimes when we were little and we didn't behave right, we got unleashed the power of mom on us. And that wasn't good. And heaven help us, the dad. He came home, just wait till your dad gets home. We were hoping dad forgot, and mom didn't forget a lot of times to tell him. So we got what was coming to us. And we didn't like when it got unleashed on us, but it sure helped us. But imagine not that, but unleashing the power of the Word of God on people. That's what we need in Peru. We need the people, people who are steeped in tradition and traditional beliefs and in superstitions and certain ideologies that are anti-biblical and idolatry and other things. Well, how in the world are we going to deal with those folks? They need a heavy dose of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And they need people who are praying to give that word as he goes forth with power to convict hearts. That's why when I was sitting at my desk in Peru on more than one occasion, but I said, what truly does our ministry need here? And I came to the conclusion that we need the power of God. We need people praying for us. I need to be more filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we need people who are praying so that the power of God is on missionaries, on the mission field. It's on their pastor and their local church. It's on their own lives, praying for one another. That's a wonderful thing. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And how much more can we love a person if we're praying for them? I don't think there's any greater sign of love than for praying for someone. If we're praying for someone, we're loving them. We're encouraging them and trying to fulfill what God has given us to do. In Ephesians chapter number 6, if we go over there quickly, Paul used several passages to outline the extreme need to be able to have people participating in prayer for him. He's just after, in the context we're going to read, he's just gotten done giving the armor of God to him. And he said, this is what's going to cap it all off in verses 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer, supplication, interceding for others. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's all believers. It says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Open your mouth boldly. What does it say? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Paul didn't have utterance. He's saying, if I don't have these prayers and people praying for me and continuing in prayer, I'm not going to be able to announce the word of God to people. I'm not going to be able to tell them what they need to know. The message isn't going to get through to their hearts. There's probably going to be some people that don't hear and don't understand. If I don't have utterance given me, and God gives it. God desires to give that utterance. As we speak with words, but the Holy Spirit takes those words and brings them home to people's hearts and helps them to understand and encourages them to want, boy, I'd like to hear some more of that. Boy, I didn't understand, but Pastor, what does that mean? And how can I get closer to the Lord? And as people, God helps people as we pray. And as he gives us the words to say, the words to pray, that he might be able to open his mouth boldly. Also in Romans chapter 15, we find him encouraging the people at Rome to pray for him. The prayers of God's people give a certain liberty and peace. As a preacher of the Word of God, it's a wonderful thing to go into a place and to preach, and I've preached and taught in our church there in Peru, and on some nights, oh, there's such a sweet spirit, such a liberty to be able to preach the Word of God. I didn't work up that liberty. I didn't make it possible for the Holy Spirit of God to work. I try to make myself a clean vessel, but I know that there's other people around the world who are praying and asking the Lord to work in people's lives. And only the Lord knows how he's working. It's our temptation at times, and I'm sure that your pastor never does this, but I know that I was been tempted in the past and have done it a few times, just like, well, I know a few problems that are going on here in the church and some people that are struggling, so let's just give them a heavy dose of this, and they need to get things right with God. But it's better if the Holy Spirit does that work. Maybe I can convince somebody and they get things right for a week. But wouldn't it be nice if the Holy Spirit convicted them and they got things right for the rest of their lives? That'd be a wonderful thing. And the Holy Spirit can do it as we pray to the Lord, as we seek him, and as he does his work, first of all in our own lives. He's going to consume us. He's going to help us. He's going to give us the desire to love and to encourage others. Think of revivals down through the years and people who've been touched. And I remember reading about the great Welsh revival, 1906 and 1907, if I'm not mistaken. And Evan Roberts, God used him, a basically unknown preacher, there in Wales to be able to preach and to carry out the Word of God. And 100,000 people got saved in 6 months. A wonderful thing. And how did it all get started? There was a lot of people praying. A lot of people praying. In fact, there was you young people here tonight, God wants to use you. God wants to help you. He wants you to help you to impact your generation for the cause of Christ. You might say, well, how can I do that? Start loving God right now. Okay? Obey your parents. That's very important. Read the Word of God. Pray. Seek to open God's Word and let him use you. But there was a young lady in the place there, and they were having a teen meeting. And she raised her hand and stood up and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I've trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And they said that when she said that, that a certain spirit fell on that place, that they said that that was the start of the revival in that place, a 15-year-old girl just raising up and praising the name of Jesus. And it spread throughout like wildfire, people coming to the Lord, people falling down in the streets, repenting of their sins. Boy, that's what we need here in America. That's what we need in Peru. That's what we need everywhere in this world. But may the Lord hear us. He will hear us. But may we humble ourselves and may we pray. And may we ask him to be able to intercede for others, to be able to intercede and to pray with a fervency that God's word might be heard. I like the last part of verse number 1. It says, even as it is with you. Even as it is with you. I believe these Thessalonians, they were people who God had saved by his miraculous grace, just as he has all of us. But they had come from a particularly idolatrous society and culture. They had some things that were seriously wrong. Worshiping idols and sacrificing, and maybe even their children giving. And there was all kinds of wicked stuff going on. But God saved these people. And they gave on. They went out and they were witnessing everywhere, telling people about the Lord, carrying out, praying for people, carrying out the work of the Lord in the Great Commission. And Paul says, think about what God has done in your lives. And as you think about what God has done in your lives, pray that it'll happen in somebody else's life. Amen. Even as it is with you. So you pray and you say, a church like this that proclaims the Word of God, people that have heard the Word of God, and I don't know, we wouldn't have the time, we'd probably be here till midnight hearing all the testimonies of what God has done throughout lives. But praying, Lord, this is what happened. This is how God, you saved me. This is the church I grew up. This is how you got a hold of me, Lord. Now do the same thing in Peru. Pray that somebody who maybe doesn't know the Lord, grew up in an idolatrous family and maybe a family away from you, but Lord, would you work in their hearts that they would be able to have the same opportunities that we had, that I had, and that the Lord would work in their hearts in a special way. And you know what? The Lord desires to do it. The Lord desires to do it. In verse number 2, it says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So as we are telling people about the Lord, and as we're praying that others might have the power to tell them about the Lord and ourselves as well, there's going to be certain people that always rise up, and there always has been, and there always will be. Jesus promised that in me, you'll have persecution, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So you know that there will be, but we see here that God desires to deliver us. That's part of the prayer request, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. I said we see people legislating things these days, and it's our temptation to get out and publish all over the social media networks that we have at our disposition about all the bad things. But what about praying for these people? What about praying for these folks that are in office, that these congressmen and women that some of them so blatantly and hatefully talk about the name of Jesus and about God-loving people and people who are of a faith and those sorts of things? What about praying for those folks? What about praying for those folks that God would touch their hearts and that he would restrain whatever wicked thing they might have in mind, and that they would make it possible that we might be able to dwell in peace and be able to serve the Lord. Dwell in peace, have peace here around us, religious liberty to be able to serve the Lord and to be able to serve him in that way. Pray in that way. That the word of the Lord might not be hindered in any way. The Lord has his way of doing that. It's not by force. You know, the Crusades and such of years past, the Muslims went out and they conquered people with the sword. They killed a bunch of folks. They conquered and they brought Islam into places by force. Not by faith, by force. And that doesn't work. Man. That doesn't work. That's never been the Lord's way. That's never been Jesus' way. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Going and preaching and teaching these people that they may observe all things, even as I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That presence of the Lord is what helps us get through it all and helps us to be able to withstand and to go on. But as we pray, Lord, would you deliver these people from unreasonable and wicked men, that other people might hear the word of God, that they might understand, that the word of God would continue to have free course, that it would continue to be glorified, and that people would continue to be helped. Think of Charles Spurgeon, a wonderful man of God who's preached in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London many years ago. And we still have many of his sermons today. His wife faithfully copied and was his personal secretary. My wife doesn't copy my messages, but she helps me about everything else. But they copied his messages out, and they were such a blessing to so many people. And people came up, and one guy came up to him and said, "Boy, Brother Spurgeon, that was a wonderful message." And he said, "I'm sorry that you said that. I was hoping you might have said, 'What a wonderful God.'" That was just the kind of spirit that he had as he preached. But as people said, "Well, why has God used you in such a tremendous way?" And he said, simply, "My people pray for me. My people pray for me." Well, they had a special place there. I'd like to go see it maybe someday. But they had a cellar right under the platform where men got in there and they got a hold of God during the preaching time, and they prayed. They interceded, and they literally wrestled for souls in that place. And they prayed for their preacher that he would have the liberty and the power to preach the word of God. And that's why it's important for us to come into church prayed up and ready to go, ready to receive something, but continually praying for the preacher. "Lord, would you give him a blessing today? Would you help him to have the liberty to be able to preach the word of God? Lord, would you save that soul that's nearest hell? Would you help them to understand the word of God? Would you help them to understand the love of God? Would you help them to understand that the peace that passeth all understanding is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and they'll never have that peace until they know Jesus?" It's a wonderful thing to be able to know. But prayer accomplishes so much and goes places that we could never go ourselves. Isaiah chapter number 55, and we'll close. Isaiah chapter number 55. A couple weeks ago, I was in a church, and And actually, it was just last week. I was in a church, and the pastor of the church had just preached a message on this passage in the morning service, and I came in the evening service and had the privilege of preaching. But he had just preached about this, and it's a wonderful, wonderful concept. Isaiah 55, verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." So this is the thing that as we pray, this is what that we need not be discouraged. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," because the Bible is never in vain. As we preach and teach the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God, it's like a rain that comes down from heaven. Can you get back a raindrop and say, "No, I don't want you to come down and fire it back up the cloud. Is it going to go?" That's not the way. It's not going to work. It comes down and it waters the, and maybe it waters a little too much. It gets us kind of muddy. I got kind of muddied up a little bit today myself. But maybe we can be just like God's little raindrops coming down and falling in different places and going down. And of course, the Lord will have to do the work and work in those roots and everything to be able to produce the fruit. But as God produces the fruit in our lives, we have other people that come along, saved people and unsaved people alike, that say, "Boy, that sure looks good. That's tremendous." It's not the fruit is produced so that the Lord is glorified. It says the Father comes and he searches for that fruit. He wants to find it. Oh, he really wants to find it. He really does. But we need to be like the Psalm 1 person, the Psalm 1 man. That blessed is the man that he's sitting there right by the streams of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are we planted by the rivers of water today? Are we planted by the rivers of water, getting refreshed each day, getting helped so that we can be a help to others? You might say, "Well, my life's not affecting anybody." Oh, I guarantee it is. Somebody. Your life's not lived in an island or just in an isolated place. It's being lived in a place where people will notice and say, "Well, that person's a person of prayer." Seems to me they always talk about how God's answering prayer, how God's working in their lives, and "Boy, I'd like to be like that person. Let's go talk. What's been happening? Sister, what's happened? And how is it that God has worked in your life?" That's a wonderful thing. This younger generation, they need to see God's work. They need to see God answered prayer. They need to faith God and know God will come through. He will not fail. God never fails. And he will always produce the fruit that he desires in each one of us. Not so we can say, "Wow, look how much fruit he's producing," but so that people, that God in heaven will be pleased and glorified. But isn't that just what all of it's all about? Why would we want to have the power of the Word of God unleashed? It's so that God in heaven could be glorified by more people coming into his kingdom, by believers being encouraged, and then being a help to one another and reaching out in love to those around them and being a help. And as we do that, the Lord can be pleased. And it's a wonderful thing to please the Lord. Right. Wonderful thing to please the Lord and to find him pleased with our lives. So as we see here in Isaiah 55, 10, and 11, that we just continue to take that word of God and to continue to shed it abroad. And as the rain falls down, only God knows where it'll fall and who it'll affect, but the Lord will bring forth the fruit in his time. So I encourage you tonight, would you pray? Would you pray that the word of God would have free course, and that it would be glorified, even as it is with you? And I know that as we pray that, with a sincere heart, as a church, as individuals, that God will do something wonderful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, head bowed and eyes closed. No one look around, please. We'll just take a moment and pray to the Lord tonight and have a short time of invitation. We won't tarry long tonight, but I'd like to ask you that if the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you might say, "Brother Stover, I see the need that I have in my life."